Welcome back to Chapter a Day. I'm Ryan Hack. First of all, I apologize. I've been sick for the last few days and haven't been able to update my Chapter a Day. But this podcast will be my talk from Sunday night at church, and then we'll get back into the book of Galatians in Chapter a Day tomorrow. I hope you enjoy it. If you do have any comments or questions or insights, again, visit chapaday.blogspot.com to post them. And otherwise, enjoy this podcast, and we'll start again with Galatians tomorrow.
So I'm excited to talk tonight, and hopefully this will be really good. The other weird thing that happened during worship was that song we sang, "Stir Within Me a Fire That the World Cannot Explain." I was getting like really super hot, and the reason was I was practically sitting on the heater. I was like, this is really weird. Why do I feel like it's like 100 degrees in here? Oh, because I'm almost on fire. So that was kind of took the mystery out of it for me, but still had a good time in worship. So we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit in regards to what the part it plays in our relationships. So we talked about love, we talked about joy, and we're talking about peace tonight. And originally, I was like, I don't know. What does that even mean? What does peace in relationships even mean? And so I looked up peace in the dictionary, which is always fun to do. Look up words in the dictionary and see what it says, because you're almost always like, okay. But a couple of the definitions were freedom from quarrels and disagreement, harmonious relations, inner contentment and serenity, roommates living in peace with each other. I thought that was a great example. Because we all know what that means, living in peace with your roommates, or maybe you haven't had that experience and you wish you would have had peace with your roommates. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's just the, you know, whoever it is that you're with. You know what that means, you know, the peace within it. But we're going to focus on a couple things tonight. I really like the harmonious relations. And that it doesn't mean we won't ever disagree on things. It doesn't mean we won't ever argue about things. But that's the exception. And we know how to deal with that. And we're able to have a healthy relationship that is able to deal with those things and handle them and still be a peaceful relationship. And so I want to talk about basically two attitudes that we all tend to fall into when it comes to our relationships. And we're going to actually focus on a section of scripture right after the fruits of the Spirit that Paul talked about in Galatians, which we'll look at in a couple minutes. But the first thing that we need to establish as Christians in a peaceful relationship is creating peace between ourselves and God. Because it all starts there when we're a Christian. If we don't have peace between ourselves and God, we're not going to have peace with other people. It just is not going to happen that way. Romans 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." So we can see, and it's all throughout the Bible, peace, having peace with God, and that it's available and that we can have that. But sin and denying Christ gets in the way of that, obviously. It gets in the way of the peace that we can have with God. A peace that, according to Philippians 4:7, surpasses all understanding. When Jesus left, he said, "I leave you a peace that is not of this world." And this is something that I've had a lot of experience with in this last week. Experience the peace of God, which is really, for me, a really funny thing that I'm speaking tonight about peace, and I had to practically, that's the wrong word, but I had to practice that all week long. I had a situation with my job. I actually got a new job that I'm starting tomorrow, which is a blessing and an incredible situation. But to make a long story short, I actually interviewed for the job back in September, and they didn't get back to me until Tuesday of this week for a job that starts tomorrow. I didn't get hired for the job until Thursday to start on Monday. So I was like, I just had all these things that I was going through, and just that portion of scripture where it says, "Don't be anxious about anything," right? "But by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of Christ, the peace of God which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ." And I just said that over and over and over the whole week. Every time I would get worried, every time I'd be like, they have to call, oh, why aren't they calling? Like, literally, there was like, we get a call at work probably once every 15 minutes. There was like a 2.5-hour stretch where the phone never rang, ever. And I was like, what's happening? I'm not sure I sang it like that, but I very well may have, actually. But it just was such a practice of patience, well, like Carla said, of patience and trust that God knew what was going on, and just saying, okay, I'm doing everything that I can do. I need to trust and have faith that you're in control of the situation, and I need your peace. Even though it doesn't make sense, even though everything is undecided, I don't know anything, people aren't calling, nothing's going the way I'd like it to, I still need to have peace. And he gave that to me. And I believe that it's because I submitted to God's plan for me. So once I do that, once I've submitted to God and said, you're in charge, I trust you, and I obtain his peace, I can now attempt to have peace with other people in other relationships. And so the portion of scripture that we're going to focus on tonight, if you want to turn to it, you can. Otherwise, I know it's going to be on the screen as well. It's Galatians 5:26 through Galatians 6:5. And it says this: let us not become conceited or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. Dear brothers and sisters, if another Christian is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone in need, you're only fooling yourself. You are really a nobody. Be sure to do what you should, for then you will enjoy the personal satisfaction of having done your work well, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. So there you have it. That's what we're talking about tonight. And it really gives us a blueprint. There are so many things you could talk about for peace within relationships and so many different angles. But I think this is a great way to look at it and a simple way to look at it. And Paul, in my opinion, is a genius. But what Paul's basically saying here is that our opinion of ourselves is what determines how we treat other people. And I would say, well, I don't want to speak for anyone, but I know for myself, my view of myself is not always accurate. Most of the time, it's probably inaccurate. I either think too highly of myself or too lowly of myself. And it's probably somewhere in the middle. And that's kind of the challenge of tonight, is to really find out who we are in Christ. So I want to start out with how we should not treat one another. At the beginning of this, in verse 26, Paul says that he warns us not to become conceited, which when you think about it is why most people don't like certain other people. Like, I don't know anybody who likes someone else who is conceited. Like, wow, you'd really like Joe. He's really conceited. Like, do you ever say that? Like, this guy's really arrogant. You should meet him. I think you guys would really hit it off. It would be cool. You know, unless you're arrogant too, then, you know, maybe. Then it would be fun to watch. So that's maybe why he wants to put you together. But when you're conceited, or the second part of this verse, jealous of one another, you fall into kind of two things that you do. And I know where I fall most of the time, and it's kind of a challenge for us to think about it. But it says you provoke other people. You irritate one another. And if you think about that, if you're conceited, if you think that you're superior to everyone, you want everyone to know that, right? Like, the Greek word that's used here actually means to challenge someone to a contest, to provoke them or to irritate them. You're actually challenging them to show them, I'm better than you, you know? And I don't know if you can, I don't want you to think of a person or anything like that, but people who are like that, who just have this arrogance or a superiority, who talk down to people, and it's almost as if they're putting you in your place because you ought to know better. I'm better than you, you know? And that doesn't make for a peaceful relationship. That makes for hatred or dislike or discord within the relationship. It's something that we all occasionally, I think, fall into, but kind of the flip side of that coin, this is, I think, where I am sometimes, so I'll just be honest with you at the risk of you not liking me. I don't know. But sometimes I get, like, really insecure, so then I think if I make people feel bad, then I'm all good. Then great! Look at how smart I am. You're an idiot. and now I feel better. Because I was insecure before, but now I know I'm really smart. Yay! And now you hate me, and you're walking away, and we're not friends. That worked great. So I don't know if, you know, you can go either way on that. If you feel insecure, you might just hide, or you might strike out and challenge people and try to get that fake feeling of feeling good. But that's one way that we destroy peace in relationships, is we become conceited, whether it's an actual conceit or if it's just a fake one that you're trying to make yourself feel good. The other side of the coin, which now I think we're up to three sides of that coin, which is okay because I don't have another cliche for you. But at the end he says, don't be jealous of one another. And he's talking about envy, that now we have this idea or this view of ourselves that's too low, that I see people who have more money than me or who have better gifts than me, they can sing better than me, they have a nicer car or a better job, or they did something in half the time that I did, or whatever it happens to be, and we get jealous, and we get bitter, and we get envious, and we want that. I want that. So I'm not going to help them. I don't want to help them. They don't need any help from me, you know? And so that's another way that we take peace out of a relationship. Instead of being grateful for our relationship, being happy for that person where they're at, helping them wherever they're at, because we all have needs and struggles and issues that we need help with, which we'll get into later too. But that's another way that we can get peace out of a relationship. We either feel superior to people or inferior to people. And we can't have healthy relationships if we feel that way. And so as a Christian, we need to seek an accurate view of ourselves in order to maintain peaceful and healthy relationships with people. John Stott is a pastor in England. Brandon, didn't you get to go to his church one time? That makes me so jealous. I'm very envious of you. Wow, that's an interesting quote. John Stott is an alien. And so I'll interpret this quote for you. John Stott says this, and I think it's a great way to look at it. He says, the correct attitude to other people is not, I'm better than you and I'll prove it, nor, you're better than I and I resent it, but you are a person of importance in your own right because God made you in his own image and Christ died for you, and it is my joy and privilege to serve you. And so just before we move on to the next part of this, I want to take just a couple minutes to talk again at our tables about those two different attitudes. Maybe you want to talk about, like I told you, mine, you kind of know where I am at with this. And hopefully not all of our relationships fall into one of these categories, but sometimes they do. And maybe it'll help just to talk about, yeah, this is the one I struggle with, you know. But I just want to talk for a couple minutes at your table about those two different things, about superior versus inferior, and how it influences your relationships. And maybe you've experienced that in relationships yourself. So let's just talk about that for a couple minutes, and then we'll come back and finish up. So we can see what Paul says about how not to treat people and what attitudes not to have towards other people to maintain peace in a relationship. And then he goes on to tell us how we are to relate to people. Galatians 6:2, he says, share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ. And there are a couple assumptions behind this verse which I think are great and helpful to us. And that is, first of all, that we all have troubles and problems. This is my wife and my daughter.
Sorry.
Bye. Sorry. She's cute, and the daughter's nice too. Oh, now she's mad.
Yeah.
She's mad at me.
Daddy, not my cute.
Anyway, so the first assumption is that we have troubles and problems, which is not too much of a stretch. I think we can all identify with that part of what Paul's saying. And the second part is that we're not supposed to... What's up, Craig? Oh, I called you Craig. Sorry. Craig. The second part is that we're not supposed to bear them alone, which can be really good, or maybe it scares you. I'm not sure. It could go either way. But it is kind of an idea that as Americans, is not really an exalted idea. That if you can't handle something on your own, you suck, right? Like, that's kind of what we're told, is that you should be able to do it. If you can't, work harder. Otherwise, you're a loser, you know? So if you've got a problem, deal with it. Fix it.
Yeah.
You know? Get off your butt and do something. Well, the Bible says that's not necessarily always true. We're supposed to rely on other people. We're supposed to bear each other's burdens. And of course, we are supposed to, we'll get into a little, some Greek verbiage in a couple minutes. But we are, of course, supposed to cast our cares on Christ, and that he is there for us, and for sure he's there to comfort us, and we can go to him with anything. But also, sometimes he does that through other people. Sometimes he comforts us through other people. Sometimes he gives us peace through other people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul gives us a great example of that, that he was so upset and was struggling so much to the point that he wondered if he should even live or die. And he was that upset, and he didn't get comfort simply by praying. He didn't get some comfort by meditating or by having a quiet time. He got comfort from another person. The people he was worried about sent him Titus, and Titus brought him good news about the people he was worried about, and it comforted him. It gave him peace because he was so worried about those people. And to have someone come from them and say, everything's fine, it's good, here I am, let me help you, what a comfort that was to him. And he helped ease his burden. Being a burden bearer is something that every Christian should and can do. Martin Luther, who was another hero of the faith, said, Christians must have strong shoulders and mighty bones, sturdy enough, that is, to carry heavy burdens. And I think he had it right. We can look at it a couple ways. Maybe you don't like to share your burdens with other people, or maybe you don't like to share the burdens of others. And those are things we need to learn to do. I know people who do not want help from other people. They're too embarrassed. They don't want it. They need to handle it on their own. And I think they're missing out on the peace of God, on that part of it at least. And I think there are many of us who don't want to help other people who have burdens. I have my own problems. Or I'm too good for that. I'm not going to stoop to that level and help them with that. They should deal with it on their own. It's not that hard, you know. And we have this attitude against it. But when we look into this passage, we see again that Paul is talking about our opinion of ourselves that gets in the way of bearing the burdens of others. Again, where he says, if you think you're too important to help someone in need, you're only fooling yourself. You're really a nobody. You know, that we need to do everything that we can to help someone else. And again, that's a perspective thing that we need to learn about ourselves, that without Christ, we're nothing. With Christ, we can do all things, but without Christ, we're nothing. So in and of myself, I can't do anything. You know, I don't have any, what's that?
What verse is that?
Which one?
The,
with the Christ all things are possible?
No, I thought you were saying
the
verse.
Oh, sorry. I was kind of paraphrasing. But anyhow, let me see. Kind of lost my place.
Sorry.
That's okay. But essentially realizing that we don't have it all together, but that we do need to help other people, and we need to love other people, and that's a way that we can do it practically, is by bearing the burdens of other people. And kind of this, the Greek part, which I really love, to show a difference between this, because some people, or not some people, it can get a little confusing. This one, this version makes it a little clearer, but in some versions it says at the beginning, you know, that we should bear the burdens, verse 2, share this version says, share each other's troubles and problems. Some versions say, share each other's burdens. And then at the end it says, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Some versions say, for we're each responsible for our own burdens. So some people would look at it and say, well, if we're supposed to help others with their burdens, but we're all responsible for our burdens, how can we carry other people's burdens that they're supposed to be responsible for? That doesn't really make sense. But the Greek words that are used here are totally different. In verse 2, when we're told to bear each other's burdens, used the Greek word baros, meaning a weight or a heavy load that's too much for one man to handle. And so this is a burden that they need help on. They will not be able to handle it by themselves. In verse 5, we're told to carry our own. It's called phortion, is the Greek word, and it's a common term for a man's pack. And so it was something that each man was supposed to be responsible for, something each man can carry, his own load. And that's why this version, I think, does a good job of saying we're responsible for our own conduct, that we are responsible for our actions, for our words. When it comes to that day when God's going to look at us, we're responsible for that. But there are circumstances and situations and struggles that we can't handle on our own, that we need help with. And those are the burdens that we need to bear with each other. And I just think that's a really great kind of definition to split the two so that we can see, you know, so that we can't say, well, you're supposed to bear that on your own. Well, they need help with it. They're asking for help with it. And we should be there to help them with it. So just as we conclude tonight, I want to encourage us to really evaluate our attitudes towards ourselves and towards others. Maybe you feel really bad about yourself. Maybe you feel like I said before, maybe you feel like you're nothing and you don't have Christ. And you don't know that peace and that confidence that comes in knowing I'm a child of God, I belong to God, I'm one with Christ. That in and of myself I'm nothing, but with Christ I have everything. You know, maybe you're not at that point. Maybe you're at the point where you do think that you're better than everyone, you know, or you're at that point where you're insecure, and so you need to feel like you're better than everyone. Whatever it is, I encourage you really to look at that this week and to say, how do I act in my relationships? You know, maybe it will take a few days just to kind of take note of how you act in your relationships and say, what does that say about me? What does that say about how I feel about myself? And maybe you're jealous or you're envious or you're bitter against somebody and you need to deal with that. You know, I challenge you to do that this week. Just take the time to really investigate in your life those things, those questions about our attitudes toward other people, and then also be on the lookout for ways that you can help others bear their burdens, ways that you can become a burden bearer yourself. And maybe there are things in your life that you need to become humble to and say, I need help with this. And you can go to a trusted friend and say, I need you to help me with this. And God will give you peace through that. And so that's what I have to say about peaceful relationships, maintaining peace in our relationships, that we need to treat people with respect. We need to serve people. We need to love people. We need to enjoy people, like Steve said last week. And we need to know where we are with Christ and who we are in Christ so we can treat others that way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for bringing us all here tonight to experience you, to worship you, and to get your peace. Help us, Lord, this week to really put this into practice, to observe how we relate to other people, how we act, what the things that we say to our friends, to our coworkers, to our family, and what that says about us and what we need to deal with. Maybe there are relationships that need major repairs. I just ask that you would help all of us to be bold in that area and to make those conversations happen. Help us, Lord, just to love others, to enjoy others, and to serve others. We ask for your peace this week in every situation that we have. I know we're all in different situations in our lives. We all have different things that we're struggling with. And I just ask, Lord, that in the midst of that, we would come to you, we would present our requests to you with thanksgiving, and just ask that your peace that surpasses all understanding would guard our hearts and our minds in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.